Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at FreshBooks.com/AAA. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage process into the 21st century with a fast, easy, and completely online process. Check out Rocket Mortgage today at QuickenLoans.com/Android. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 288, recorded on Tuesday, October 18th, 2016. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm still Florence Ion.
Wait a minute. So your last name has not changed?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
That's cool.
All right.
My wife actually did the same thing. She's got the same last
name. It's the 21st century.
Who wants
She's
to get
got
rid
a bio-
of the last name like Ion.
I know.
Sure, well, it's a good name, and you got a byline.
And it's
to worry
only
about.
Three letters. It's so easy.
Yeah, I mean, Ion is a pretty badass last name.
So.
I mean, I don't know why anyone would think about getting rid of that last name. So it
Precisely.
Works. It works. Well, congratulations,
Thank
because you.
You
I don't know got married over the weekend.
I did.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And you're here on Tuesday.
I'm a little tired.
I can imagine.
I'm still shocked you're here. I mean, bravo for a commitment to the All About Android beat. But congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you, Ron. I feel bad, though, because I did bring some pastries to the set from the wedding that actually have nougat in them.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Now, did you do that on purpose? Did you pre-plan the wedding pastries to have nougat in them, or was that just a happy accident?
I'm trying to talk to my mom about how I can ship one of these to you.
So I will hold it's it up okay, on my product know. Camera because it is
this
a product.
Is really good.
This
really
is
wow.
Good. This is what nougat looks like. This right here.
It's in
wow.
a yeah wafer thing with nuts. Anyway,
I'm not
going
to take a bite right
them.
Now.
I had three. It's not hard. You can.
I know, but I've got lots of talking to do.
Okay, this is true.
I'm not.
It's really good.
I'm sure it is. I'm going to save it. I'm going to make sure that it's part of my product camera all day.
Okay.
And then maybe I'll enjoy this a little bit later. All right.
Enhance.
Hey, why don't we introduce some people instead of playing around with nougat? Thanks for bringing that in. I can't wait to eat it. But now is not the time because we've got not one, but two
true.
Awesome people to
true.
Introduce. First off, Duncan Jaffrey from Ozdroid.net. Duncan was actually in studio a couple of weeks ago with me on This Week in Google with me and Jeff Jarvis and Stacey Higginbotham, and we had a great time. So it was like, dude, come on All About Android. How's it going, Duncan?
Going fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Had a great time in studio and looking forward to today.
Yes, where it is tomorrow, but the morning tomorrow. So you're kind of in the future and you just had your cup of coffee in the morning, I'm assuming.
One or two. I'm back to decent coffee finally.
All right, excellent. Hey, what are you saying?
Sorry, developers. I don't have any money left for you.
It's good to have you here, Ozdroid.net. Also joining us, Andrew Martinick from Android Central. How's it going, Andrew?
I'm doing just fine. It's the evening, but I'm still drinking coffee here as well. I've got just emptied that one behind me.
Well, I mean, you're a master of Starbucks coffee. Anyone who follows your Twitter feed knows that that's your alternate beat.
Starbucks is not as good in San Francisco, though. It's actually
really?
Acceptable. And there's a big difference between how they make it in Seattle, which is like acceptable level, and then Starbucks here is just they don't really care. I don't think it's not good. I have thoughts on this.
Interesting.
Peasants.
I know.
We're just
right?
peasants.
Second class Starbucks.
Same goes for most of Manhattan as well. Every Starbucks is horrible. But yeah, that's a different story.
I just kind of think of Starbucks as the like the McDonald's level of quality. You know what I mean? Not comparing Starbucks coffee to McDonald's, although McDonald's
it was pretty good.
Yeah, okay. All I'm saying is when you go to McDonald's, if you go to McDonald's, there's a level of quality that you expect between them, right? And I think of Starbucks as the same. Like it's a big enough chain that they would all be the same. But I guess not.
Well, you would think so, but like I said, I have standing here. I've spent a lot of time in a lot of Starbucks in a lot of cities, and Seattle, they just seem to care a little more. That's all.
All right, fair enough. Now I need to go to Seattle and just to check out the Starbucks. Apparently,
well, it didn't
yeah, I can there. I can point you to the good locations.
Excellent,
you got plenty to choose from.
Excellent. All right, so we've got a lot to talk about. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the Google Pixel. That's actually the main reason that Andrew is joining us this evening. He's going to join to discuss his thoughts. And I'm sure we got lots of questions on his time with the Google Pixel phones. We've also got the Sony XZ that Duncan has been spending some time with. Samsung leaked a new Chromebook Pro at just the right time, I might add. Diversion is a really powerful thing in these days of Samsung batteries. And Google's new Sprayscapes app and a whole lot more. We've got stuff to talk about, but we're going to start with the news and Google Pixel.
If you want that same great taste and that double shot of energy, stick with Android News.
Now I know what I forgot right before showtime. A double shot of energy. I should have gotten myself a cup of coffee.
That's what we got for you here, Jason.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Brian. All right. So, Andrew, you wrote up. You had a video. I was actually trying to figure out exactly who did all the reviews at Android Central, because you did the video. Daniel Bader did some stuff. Alex Dobie did the written review. Did you all get Pixel phones?
We actually had an embarrassment of riches where we had two Pixel XLs and a regular Pixel. And nice. So Alex Dobie wrote our full-on review, is like 6,000 words or something when he was done with it, all the pretty pictures, all that good stuff. He actually wrote it mostly on a couple of planes he was flying to Asia and the whole crazy thing.
No distractions.
So, right, no distractions at all, no problems. So he was working on that, and Daniel, who got the smaller Pixel, added in all of his thoughts on the smaller one, where we could say, here's the difference between the big and the small one, because you know, they're 95%, you know, the same experience, or, 95% the same. So Daniel pitched in with all kinds of stuff like, you know, about the smaller one in terms of battery life and the screen and how it is to use the smaller one. And then I wrote a more US-centric version of a review of just the XL, which is the one that I have, talking about how it lands in the carriers and compares in terms of pricing, because Alex can talk about the international version, you know, more generally, but what it costs in the various different countries, it's a different discussion depending on where you are and how it compares. I know it's really expensive in terms of Canadian dollars, and that's a different discussion from how it is in the US or the UK, Europe, or wherever. So I took the US-centric approach and talked about that kind of stuff too.
All right, so you spent a bunch of time, or at least the past, I think everybody's had these kind of a week to start with for them, you know, more or less, give or take. What have your thoughts been in a week of living with this phone? Do you feel like it's living up to Google's self-professed hype on its own device?
Yeah, in most ways. I mean, I'll talk about some of the ways that it doesn't quite get there in a second, but I think overall, yeah, it absolutely lives up to it. And the very interesting part is that, I mean, we overhyped Nexuses every single year, of course, but Google did a pretty good amount of hyping of Nexus releases, especially this last generation. They talked a lot about the design and the quality and all this different kind of stuff with the 6P and 5X. They did the same thing with the Pixels, but now they're absolutely back it up in terms of, really, for me, it's just how everything comes together. The hardware is a little on the bland side, you could say, but it's really, really well made. I mean, it's made like a high-end HTC phone, of course. It, you know, that checks out. But it has all the internals and things sorted out to where the software can really take advantage of them. And that's what you really notice, is it's like on another level in terms of performance, you know, touch response, snappiness. There's none of that weird cruftiness where it slows down or randomly gets jittery when you open apps. Everything is instant. Everything works. The way I described it is, if you used a late model Samsung phone, you know how quick they are because they kind of have some extra little optimizations thrown in. This is like that, but all the time. There is never a slowdown. It doesn't matter if you're in the settings in Google's apps or in a third-party app or multitasking or whatever. It just flies all the time.
We're looking at the video stabilization. This is one of those features.
Yeah, we can, of course, talk about the cameras, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because this is really, really impressive what we're seeing here. Google's done something different with the software in the Pixels to where it's kind of taking the information from the gyroscope inside and feeding that into the video that you're recording. So I imagine you've got to be losing a little bit of resolution in this process, right? And then it's basically using that gyroscope to digitally stabilize.
As far as the video goes, it's very interesting because the output can still be, by default it's 1080p, but the big thing is it can do this image stabilization even on 4K video. So the sensor is definitely big enough that it's clearly capturing more than that, because when you look at it, it's a bit of a mind trick, because when you record and then you look at it later, everything looks kind of zoomed in a little bit because it is doing that situation where it crops in on the side to stabilize the middle. Mm-hmm. But once you get beyond that, that's not a problem. What the big thing is that in the end, it still outputs 4K video, even with that stabilization. And the stabilization is it's almost too good. It's super smooth.
It looks
smooth.
Like you're strafing in a first-person shooter.
Yeah, it really does. That's a really
like
great way to put it.
I'm waiting for you to bring out the gun you want to pick. Uh-huh. And
right. So
that's with Magic Leap.
It's kind of right. Yeah. It's unnatural. That's the biggest thing about it. So like that video that you showed, if you're just walking around, I shot that video holding the camera just like this, and my hand's shaking around, and I'm walking, and you don't see in the viewfinder how smooth it is. You don't see it until the output is finished when you're done recording. But when you're walking around, you expect movement, side to side and around a little bit. But when you watch the video, it's like it's on a gimbal or some kind of, steady cam rig. And nobody's really expecting that. So if you're just walking around, it's almost too good. Now, if you're like, I took some videos really quick and I was flying down here today when I was on the train to the airport, when you're sitting still and it's just bumping around a little bit, that's perfect because you're expecting there to be no movement because you're supposed to be trying to stabilize it. There's no natural movement with you walking around. And those videos look awesome. I mean, it's crazy how well stabilized they are because you're not just getting that little bit of smoothness from the optical image stabilization like you do on other cameras. It's all in software, so they can tune it up and down as much as they want, which is used to great effect.
And that processing, that's happened after you're done recording the video, right? So you stop recording the video and then it kind of churns on it for a little bit and then gives you the stabilized, or is that happening in real time?
It's happening in real time when it's saving it. It just doesn't have the processing power to be able to show you in the viewfinder how stable it is.
Got it.
So there is that little bit of disconnect because you don't know how smooth it is. So you're trying really hard to stabilize it. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing where they need to improve it a little bit is that it's trying to stabilize it so much that when you do a movement where you look up and down or you go left and right, it doesn't really know that you're trying to move. So it doesn't know the difference between movement that you're trying to show and you're not trying to show. So it just tries to stabilize everything. And that's a little funky, but more interesting than that for most people, because we don't all shoot a lot of video, is the stills. And of course that doesn't have stabilization, built into it per se, but the speed and the way it processes photos and everything like that takes into account all of this information as well, because it knows where it's positioned and if it's moving and all that, and can time everything properly to take that perfect shot. And especially when you're doing HDR, you don't want movement in the phone at the same time. So they've somehow nailed that as well. Obviously we don't know the details of how all this works, but somehow they're able to get, you're showing a couple of low light photos there. You would never expect a camera that doesn't have image stabilization to be able to take a smooth HDR photo like that.
Yeah, the fact that this camera is f2.0, you'd kind of expect more to find like f1.8 in this day and age, and with smartphone cameras as the kind of the entry point for these low light photos, but this somehow is pulling off, I think, pretty impressive.
Of course, the images that we show, you know, on the web that are compressed to go on a website don't always look as great. Right. What I need to do is I need to pull together Google Photos folder and put that out for people to download the originals, because, of course, they're big photos, because pretty much every photo is taken in HDR plus mode when you leave it on automatic. Mm-hmm. It very rarely takes just one exposure. So I think they're doing up to 5 or 7 exposures in some cases, and then melding them all together, of course, in HDR. But the big thing is that you don't know the difference whether you're taking one photo or you're taking 3, 4, 5 photos. It can do it all, you know, as soon as you push that button, just like we've expected with recent Samsung phones and, you know, the Moto Z, and, you know, they're all just as quick. But this is doing so much on the back end that it's extra surprising. I mean, we all use the Nexus 6P and 5X and knew how slow that was to take the photo and then process the photo. Yeah. This takes better photos and it does it instantly, which is, that's the most impressive thing. It's not something you think about every single time because you just want it to be fast, but it's really impressive in terms of the performance when you actually want to dive into the specifics.
What about, okay, so obviously this is not vanilla Android, let's say.
Yeah.
With the Nexus devices, that's what, you know, enthusiasts have come to really, you know, one of many things that enthusiasts love about Nexus devices is, well, it's the true Android from Google itself. This is like Google's own layer on top of Android. Was that a good idea, do you think? Software enhancements, assistant built in, are these improvements that are going to help or hinder a device like the Pixel for reaching that wide, massive audience?
Yeah, I think that people that have bought Nexus phones, myself included, you know, year after year, are feeling a little let down right now because they feel like there's this big divide where, you know, Nexus ended and Pixel's like way over here. It took this huge jump, and it did, to be fair. Mm-hmm. But people are feeling a little let down because right now they don't know how that gap is going to be filled. We don't know how much of this launcher experience is going to come over, how assistance eventually going to come over. We don't know those kind of details, and that's putting people off. But if you just look at the Pixels themselves, the software is really, really good. Like I said, the performance and the responsiveness and all that, it's way smoother than the Nexus 6P, which I think we could agree was a pretty good performer, except for Flo doesn't really feel that way about it, I think. But
I was having problems on the way over here, by the way. It was like,
I think you have a bad phone,
Flo. I was about to throw it out the window while driving over here.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever gotten to the point of wanting to throw the 6P out of the window, but the Pixels, you know, same performance between both of them. There's never been a slowdown. I mean, I've used it for a week, obviously. I would think that I would have run into at least something at this point, you know, using it every single day, but there's no slowdown. There's no hiccup or anything. So I think that's the most important part of the software to me is I know Jerry talked, you know, one or two episodes ago about wanting the iPhone running Android. This is that level of, everything is smooth and fast and you just don't even think about it anymore. Mm-hmm. That I'm happy that it's been adopted they've reached that level. It's so, so fast. So the little visual changes, sure. Like the launcher is a little different. It has some different colors and the 24/7 support. I hate the rounded icons because they're horrible and I wish Google would figure that out already. But those things are almost secondary. Like, the Pixels are just super clean and simple and fast. And that's the important part, like you were saying, Jason, for reaching those tens of millions of general consumers, you know, the people that are walking into the Verizon store, picking up the phone and seeing what it's like in like 20 minutes before they make a buying decision or, you know, buy it the next day or something like that.
Right.
Those things are important. They don't want to pick up a phone that feels slow or they scroll through a web page and it janks along. Like, that's still a problem on some Android phones, and that's really, really bad. These don't have those problems.
Have that problem on the Nexus 6P either. When I reviewed it, it was like a perfect experience.
Sure.
It was the new Marshmallow experience, so it was very clean and new to me. The stuff that I'm experiencing has happened in the last 6 months, and right. that was right before I signed up for the Nougat developer preview. So I want to know how this phone is going to last down the line, because I think ultimately where a lot of the frustrations come from users.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
why... I mean, that's why I always have to... We always have this big section at the top of our reviews, as Flo knows, that it says how long we've used it, because, you know, we can't publish our first review after using it for 2 months or something. We always right. do follow-ups and things like that. Like I said, though, I think the big thing is you notice it the second that you take it out of the box. It's super, super fast. And then a week later, where I have it loaded up with 20 gigs of stuff and I'm using it every single day, still never slowed down any, you know, any amount. It's never had a hiccup in any way. So that bodes really well for the future of, you know, the Pixel 6 months or 10 months down the line mm-hmm. when you're still using it and it's been loaded up even more. I mean, I don't know if they've completely gotten rid of every single possible slowdown, but right now they've figured that part out. Google Assistant is the other big feature, and I'm just not that excited, guys. It's not that really? Good. So I mean, of course we all used it inside of Allo, right? Because that's a different kind of interface where you can type to it. So Google Assistant on the Pixels is voice only. You can activate it with long pressing the home button, but it just sits there and listens to you and waits. And
I like typing the assistant though. Because maybe I right. want to do it on the DL. Like, I don't want to, you know. Right?
You're on a bus or whatever, yeah.
So I point out there on that video that you guys mm-hmm. can see, this is the one time where you don't have to talk to it, and that's for the screen search, which replaces the Google Now on Tap functionality. But that's the only way you can get results or anything from it, is if you're on a web page or in an app, you can press and hold to launch Google Assistant. It'll do like a screen search type of thing, give you keywords and stuff like that. Other than that, it just pops up and asks you to talk to it. And there's no conversational thread like there is in Allo. I really like in Allo that it feels like you have this ongoing conversation with the assistant that's always sitting there waiting for you. In Google Assistant on the Pixels, at least right now, there's no threading like that. So as soon as you close Assistant, you just hit the home button. You can launch it 30 seconds later, and it's like it's never met you. It doesn't know anything other than, you know, your basic stuff in your account, you know, where you live, where you work, you know, stuff like that, your search history, all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't know what you just did. And that's what makes it far less useful. I mean, you can get beyond the voice thing. If it doesn't know what you just talked about 2 minutes ago and you have to keep retelling it, I mean, I think that you should be able to say, you know, what's the weather like in San Francisco or whatever. That's always the general example. But if I close it and reopen it and say, and, you know, I should be able to see what my last question was and say, how about this weekend? You know, it should be able to keep that context going, and it doesn't do that. And on top of that, it's still very limited in terms of they're billing it as this, you know, natural language kind of thing where you can ask it things, but you still have to very much stay on the rails. Where if you ask it kind of the wrong way, you get that clunky web search result back, like we're all used to from Google right. Voice Search last year. So where then, I found this on the web for you.
Yeah, that's the signal of failure. When you get that back, you're like, oh man,
right?
I just wanted to do the thing. You
but
know,
I'm
and
just
extend
curious
the awesomeness in
why
other ways.
Some of the reviews that came out today on the web were so critical of the assistant. You know, granted, I understand it's half-baked from what I've read, but yeah. Some reviewers were very critical of it, to call it just like completely useless. I don't know. Do you feel like it's a useless feature? Do you think it's really worth like
no.
a selling
I
point
think
for
that
the
useless,
Pixel?
Like useless is way overblowing the situation. The big thing for me is that the software component on the phone is really good. The voice transcription to text is always flawless. The keyword detection is really good. It's always fast. The results are always good. Even on LTE, it's really quick. They've gotten that portion down. The portion that's not very good is the part that Google can update on the back end constantly. And I have to remember that there are only a few dozen people probably with the Pixel right now. And they're, you know, it's only us feeding data in there. And as soon as they get more and more people using Assistant in the way that they're expected to, that's when they can start to pick up on the back end. And all of a sudden, I mean, we get a lot of things right now because we're very early days where you ask it, I ask it to do something and it says, I can't do that right now, or I can't do that yet. So it's saying, I recognize that you want me to do something, and I know I could do it in the future, but right now we haven't figured that part out yet. And that's something that Google can just plug in at any time on the back end. They won't make an announcement about it or anything, but Assistant will just get smarter. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I don't say it's useless. I know that the interaction is there and the idea is well thought out, like they're on the path for it, but I need them to actually make that happen on the back end sooner than later. Because if it's already this thing where I have to think about, oh, I should do this with my voice, or I should try to ask Google Assistant this, rather than just tap in that little Google bar at the top of the launcher and just type in a search and then get the information I need guaranteed. You know, it's not a guarantee that you get something useful with Assistant every time. And that's like a big cognitive barrier to get over.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the most important question of the day, with, you know, all the Pixel reviews launching, was this worth the $800 I just dropped on it?
Yeah, and I mean, in the case of Duncan,
that's what I want to know.
In the case of Australia, even more than that, it's like 1,100 some odd.
Because
$1,419.
Ouch! What? Wow! I'm hurting.
That's for 128 gig XL,
right?
And I won't be sending my wife this stream anymore because I pick mine up at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah, currency conversions are rough, and the Canadians are feeling it right now too.
Oh,
so
yeah,
there's a 20% premium.
It's fine.
Yeah. So I can obviously speak to the U.S., and that's why I wrote my U.S.-centric review in these terms, where I was talking to Jerry Hildenbrand of Android Central. You guys know him well, obviously. I was talking to him about it, and he was, he's used it a bit. I was using it for longer, and he said, well, do you feel like it's worth, $770? I've been using the XL. And I said that if any phone, if you've in your mind said, I'm going to spend $750+ on a phone, and you've justified that some phone is worth that to you, this is one that's worth it. That's the big barrier for some people. Google knows that it's not going to get every single Android consumer or half of Android consumers to consider a phone that costs $750+. That's just, or equivalent in your local currency. That's not going to happen. They know that. But they obviously, if they wanted to make a $400 phone, or a $500 phone, they would have made the Nexus 6P again. And we would have been mad at them for making the Nexus 6P again,
right?
Because, that's an overall upsetting experience. You don't go out there and sell 40 million Nexus 6Ps to general consumers or in Verizon stores. Like, that's just not going to happen. You have to go high end. You have to nail all of these things, and then you can charge, you can charge the big money for it. And you can be upset about the price all you want, if in general, but you can't say that what's here is not worth the money they're charging if you think that any phone is. I mean, the iPhone 7 Plus, same price. LG V20, same price. I would say not as good of a phone. Moto Z, they're trying to charge the same price. Xperia XZ, they're trying to charge the same price. These other phones are charging that. I mean, Galaxy S7 Edge, I think, is probably the closest competitor in the Android space. They're charging this kind of money, and people have been buying tens of millions of Galaxy S7 Edges.
But I still feel like those are come with more bells and whistles than a Google phone, though. Like,
but that depends on where you place the importance.
It's water resistant. It's got the double ability MST and the NFC, and it's got like the wireless charging, and it has like all these extra little bits and to it. And the Pixel doesn't. It's just a phone that looks like an iPhone. And I bought it.
No, come on. It does not look like an iPhone. That is actually a full quote in my review.
I cannot believe how much it looks like one. Like, I, you know.
Definitely not from the back, right?
I think that it looks like.
No, the front does, though.
Maybe.
It looks like a modern smartphone in that it's a rectangle black slab with rounded corners, and it's made out of high-grade aluminum. But I think that the important thing to realize, like I said, the Galaxy S7 Edge, yes, it has more features. It has people like waterproofing. Mm-hmm. I wish this is waterproof. I think it should have been. That's something that they could put in there. It could have been done. Wireless charging, give it up already. The phone's made out of metal. It's not going to do that right now. Beyond that, it's not missing anything for me. And it's not all about multiple, like, they're not trying to fill up a column of features to say Galaxy S7 Edge has X number of features, Pixel XL has Y number that is smaller than X. They don't care about that. I don't care about that, because my problem with the Galaxy S7 Edge is not the hardware or the camera or how fast it is. It's that it has so many features that I can't even deal with it, mm-hmm. because they have all these duplicative apps and services and all the Samsung crap that's just in the way, that I don't want that. I want the phone that's simpler, just does the Google things. I can download, I mean, I'm using a Gear Fit 2 right now. I downloaded S Health and the Gear Manager on here, and I can use that on this phone if I want it, but I don't want that stuff pre-installed if I don't. And so that's a harder story to tell than saying, hey, look, you set it on the pad and it charges, or hey, look, it has all this stuff pre-installed. Like, those are easier stories to tell than the Pixels, but I think that the Pixel XL is a better overall experience than what Samsung offers currently on the Galaxy S7 Edge, and they're both the same price. So that's a real battle at the top end.
Yeah. Well, and I think building on that also, I think you know this is really the first product of this line, whereas Samsung has been loading the Galaxies with functionality and different options and things like that. They've evolved to a point of waterproofing and things like this. They, you know, Google set out and, you know, they just wanted to build a phone that would be at that price point. It's clear they focused on the camera and they focused on battery life and processor and the operating system. And I got to imagine bells and whistles will come with future iterations.
Duncan, you had something to insert there. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I think part of the value of the Pixel line as well is the guaranteed security and software updates. I spoke about this when I was on This Week in Google, and it's really the security updates that I find the most value in. The dessert updates are fantastic, and I love them, and I look forward to them. You know, that's my passion. But knowing that the device will be secure for 3 years has a value in it. And part of the reason that I did hand over my money was to say to other vendors, this has value. What that value is, I don't know, but it was worth my money to know that for at least 3 years, that phone will be secure as it can be. Mm-hmm.
That's a great point, Duncan, because that's exactly why people were buying, well, Android faithful were buying Nexuses in the first place, those mm-hmm. who weren't really developers, because they wanted consistent updates, and you don't get that with the other OEMs. And 3 years is pretty darn good, because a lot of people don't want to buy new phones every other year.
Especially not if you're paying premium prices. Yeah. But
yeah.
Yeah.
My pal's still using a Nexus 5. Sorry.
How often do you get new phones, Duncan?
Again, my wife might watch this stream.
Oh, okay. Never mind. We'll keep that. Andrew, thank you so much for chatting with us about your time spent with the devices. It just makes me want them.
I know. More. Where is mine? It still says pending.
I know. I was going to check on mine because my Google Store order just randomly, it switched from processing to closed.
No. And
I'm not happy about.
Whoa.
And it's got like closed? A check mark and then closed. And I go, that's super passive aggressive. Like, what's going on here? it doesn't have the estimated shipping date anymore. Uh-oh. I know that my credit card's been charged now, but it says closed. I'm like, cool. I'm hoping it's some kind of weird thing with I ordered from Project Fi. I'm hoping that they're just like getting their stuff together.
Jason's checking his order right now, by the way, because you just scared him.
I'm okay.
You're still
closed. Like the, is like closed like the step before shipped or maybe or like shipping or like
the box was closed on the phone and they taped it up.
Exactly.
Perhaps your review wasn't quite nice enough.
Apparently, I ordered this thing like while I'm sitting there in the event, 10 minutes after they showed it on stage, I'm like, I got to be super high on the list of, you know, orders getting out the door, like overnight shipping, like, come on, just go. And I'm refreshing, closed. So I got a couple days to figure this out. This is not going to end well, unfortunately, I have a feeling. So I don't want to have to make another order and get back in the, I don't want that to happen. Come on, Google.
Well, Gerardo in chat says closed is a good thing. It goes to processing next. He says pending to closed to processing. I don't know.
I don't know. I've never seen closed.
I've never seen it either.
I have an extensive Google Store order history, believe me. I don't know. I hope you're right. I'm looking at it now. So
if not, we'll start a support group.
I think we should have a race. Who gets their device first?
Yeah.
Let's see. So I at least have I've got the quite black XL at least.
Is it quite black? It looks a little slate gray on the bottom there.
Yeah. I mean, obviously. I have this weird like orb of lamp over here on the side, but it's not. It's a little more space gray if you want to use the iPhone terminology. But I think that they oversold it by saying quite black. That kind of makes it seem like it's like a, you know, black hole kind of color. But it has a black front. That's the important part. Come on, white fronts? No. Not gonna happen.
They should have called it None More Black. A little spinal tap.
They really should have. They missed an opportunity. Although they named them with a firm wink and a smile, I think, a nod to to it. So thanks for all that, Andrew Martinick. A busy guy, but took out time tonight to let us know your thoughts, and we really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
I mean, I've just been living and breathing Pixel the last week anyway, so this is exactly what's going through my head. I don't have to prep a lot for this.
Excellent. Happy to make it easy for you. AndroidCentral.com, obviously, to find all of Andrew's awesome work. And we'll get you back on a full episode sometime soon if you're interested. We'd love to have you back.
Yes, hopefully a time where I'm not sitting in a hotel room with some kind of hodgepodge put together system here. I can actually sit down comfortably, not with this whole situation going on here and the sun going down. I can do a full show, full marathon.
Right on. Sounds good, man. All right, have a great night. And
appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Andrew.
Bye
everyone.
He's fading. I'm very excited and I want it right now. Duncan, you said you ordered yours and it's going to be shipped tomorrow?
I pick it up in 20 hours.
You pick it up?
Oh my God, I'm so jealous. I have to wait for mine to come to me. I can't pick it up anywhere. Mm. Maybe if I go down to Mountain View and just start knocking on some doors.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Do you have my really blue Pixel XL? Please.
Or whatever they call it.
I hate really my phone right now. Sorry.
All right, so let's take a break before we get into other hardware and thank the sponsor of this episode, that is FreshBooks. It can be a struggle to race against the clock to wrap up various projects, whatever you have going on, all while trying to tackle endless amounts of paperwork. And that, my friends, is the world that encompasses freelance work. Challenging, yes, but our friends at FreshBooks believe the rewards are worth it. FreshBooks is excited to announce the launch of an all-new version of their cloud accounting software. It's been redesigned from the ground up and custom-built for exactly the way you work. You can get ready for the simplest way to be more productive and organized. Most importantly, get paid quickly. The all-new FreshBooks is not only ridiculously easy to use, it's also packed full of powerful features. You can create and send professional-looking invoices in less than 30 seconds. There's no formatting, no formulas, just really simple, clean, and professional-looking invoices. You can add your own logo and color scheme so that your invoice reflects your brand. when you email a client an invoice, FreshBooks can show you whether they've seen it. You can put an end to the guessing game. You can set up online payments with just a couple of clicks and get paid up to 4 days faster. There's also a super handy deposit feature, so you can invoice for a payment up front when you're kicking off a project. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to our audience. To claim it, just go to freshbooks.com/AAA and enter All About Android in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Start your 30-day free trial today, and we thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode of All About Android. All right, we've got more hardware to talk about. It's like hardware quarter every single episode.
We do talk about smartphones.
I know, but you know, there's usually other things, and lately it's just been nothing but hardware news, but that's okay.
Because Christmas like is almost coming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know, it's the time of year. All right, let's check out some more hardware. So let's see here. Duncan, you've been spending some time with the Sony XZ. Why don't you tell us a little bit about XZ? Tell us about your thoughts. What do you think?
I do. So I have the international variant of the Sony XZ with functioning fingerprint sensor.
Wow.
No software tweak required. Look, it's a really nice device. It's been built really well. It's a bit divisive with some people. I don't know how clearly it can be seen. It's got really nice rounded edges all the way around. But then the top is like an obelisk. It's really quite flat and square, and you end up with a really weird rectangular profile. And a lot of people have loved that or hated that. I think that's just a personal preference. From a specification point of view, it's a 5.2-inch device with an LCD 1080p display. It's got a 23-megapixel rear shooter, a 30-megapixel front facer, powered by a Snapdragon 820 paired with 3 gigs of RAM and 32 or 64 gigs of storage. Now, it's got a 2,900 non-replaceable battery. It's got USB-C, which is nice with their Sony's adaptive charging, which is a quick charging style protocol, but not quite the same it is the Qualcomm quick charging, I'm sorry. It has a headphone port, as all phones should, and any phone that I ever buy will.
Agreed.
Like I said, fingerprint, all your standard radios and all those sorts of things. I think the big points are it is a very nice designed device. It's got the 2.5D glasses they seem to like these days with just those rounded corners. How does it perform? I think Sony does a really good job on their software. They skin it really lightly. It runs really quite nicely.
Especially lately,
Yeah, it's probably the last 2 years, do you think, Flo? It's sort of they've really backed off, and I'd call it stock plus. It's just a little bit of adjustment. A lot of it is as it comes out of the box, and they've just changed some fonts and icons, and it's got a nice theming engine for those who like to do that, which is a bit easier than theming is on a stock device. So performance is fine, but the big elephant in the room with this is the camera. In Australia, it's selling for $1,000. So that's not quite at the Pixel territory like it seems to be in other markets. They have brought it in more dollar for dollar like it is selling elsewhere, which brings it at a lower price point. The camera is good when you get it open and you take photos. I'm still only a week into the device. I picked it up when I was in Sydney on a trip just late last week. But it's getting it to open. So it's got the standard separate shutter button that comes with Sony cameras, which is nice. But there is a noticeable lag. My device before this was a Note 7, and that thing booted really quick. You just double tap the power button and it starts straight up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same with this. You press and hold the shutter button, and there is a couple of seconds waiting for the software to turn on and the screen to come up. And I just think in a flagship device, that's just not good enough. I mean, I have missed inconsequential shots maybe now that my daughter's a bit older, but had my daughter been younger, I would have missed shots that at the time I felt were completely unmissable. Now, I've never gone back and looked at any of the unmissable shots I've ever taken, so I'm not sure how unmissable they really were. But in the top-tier device from a company that makes almost every sensor and every single phone, I still don't understand why their own software experience just isn't quite there. Like, it takes great photos when it loads, but the load speed and the shooter speed just isn't quite there for me.
Duncan, I was actually having this conversation last night with my friend. Why is it that Sony makes all the sensors for the high-end flagships, but on their phones, it's just kind of meh.
Mm-hmm.
Meh.
Software.
Yeah.
I put it down to software.
Yeah. And Sony's never been a software company, as we have learned from their follies in the early aughts.
That's true.
I mean, if we look who had the really great cameras for the last couple of years, iPhone. I mean, we have to admit their cameras have been good for longer than Android. Samsung were then the first to step in with good cameras. Mm-hmm. LG quickly followed on the heels, which may be a surprise because I've never found them to be a great software maker. But they did something with the camera.
They
hired
WebOS.
The right guy. on their G4, their G5, their cameras are good. And, you know, now the HTC 10 is getting there. It looks like Google has finally licked it because the 6P wasn't great and the 5X was horrendous. Same camera, very different experience in software. So it's software is my opinion of why you take a great Exynos, whatever their sensors are, and you end up
the Exmor, I believe.
Exmor, that's it. It's not that it's not a good sensor. It takes a great photo. It just doesn't take it quickly. And that to me says software.
Mm-hmm. Bummer.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you can have a great camera, but if there's a delay on
there's no point.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of one of the things about the 6P, kind of what we were talking about earlier, right? Like, you can take really great pictures of the 6P with that HDR+, but if it slows everything down.
Yeah, if it saves.
Well, okay, you've got it. You've got problems with your 6P. I've had great
the day my Pixel comes. We're getting a hammer.
Don't do it. No, it might explode.
I almost want to challenge Flo to not use the Pixel, but get another 6P and see if you continue to have the same problems or not. Because that device is haunted. I really think the one you've got is haunted.
I mean, there's a lot of monsters in Romanian folklore, so it's very possible.
You never know. How about when I get my Pixel? You can have my 6P and you can use it.
Yeah. I just like is it like some specific, like, you're in the order you're installing and using apps is causing this to do something, like, you know, like, because how you can have such an awful experience and someone like Jason can have such a positive experience, I think it's either going to come down to the single device is defective, or I don't know what you're doing, but it's, yeah.
I don't know. I'm writing about it right now, so we can talk about it later.
Or maybe you'll get the Sony XZ, but I suppose that wouldn't solve your problem. So, yay or nay on the Sony XZ? What do you think, Duncan?
If having a camera load really quickly isn't a top priority for you, then, you know, it's not a nay. But if excellent camera performance is there at the moment, I'm certainly not giving it a yay. My full review should be up in a week or two once I've had a chance to, you know, give it the full treatment.
But it
is a great phone. It is well made. The styling may be divisive, but in a market where there are great cameras, you need to have the full package at the top end of the market.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, let's talk about something different, Ron. I mean, completely different, actually.
Talk about something completely different.
And now for something completely different.
That's right.
Thankfully, we're not talking about the Samsung Note 7 for now, but we are talking about Samsung in that, I don't know, in a way to get some heat off of the Note maybe or not, or maybe just a screw up. Samsung leaked a promotional page for a new Chromebook Pro, and this page has been taken down, but of course we got the details from this page that while it was up. It's going to have a hexa-core Rockchip processor, which is a great name, by the way, the hexa-core Rockchip. 4 gig of RAM. It's got a 2K screen, 12.3-inch display, a 360-degree hinge made of aluminum. It comes with a stylus digital pen that slides into the side, which is the first for a Chromebook. And I gotta wonder if this is recycled Note styluses. Now we're gonna assume that it's capable of running Android apps. The price that was listed was $499, but we have no idea when it's gonna be officially announced. But Samsung is cooking up something cool for the laptop market.
Maybe we shouldn't use cooking metaphors.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good one. Look at how that stylus goes in like the phone, but it's the Chromebook. That's kind of cool. So
I want one.
I was just going to say, does this get, Jason, you're a Chromebook user. Does this have you excited or?
Nod.
Well, yeah. I mean, it looks interesting. I think what I'm more fascinated by has been what I feel like we're seeing here is kind of evidence of what we've talked about in the past of these like controlled leaks, and they seem accidental. But I mean, come on.
You think celebrity gossip is accidental? Please. True. It's the same in the tech world.
Yeah. I mean, and,
it's
and
not
it
as
works,
scandalous
right?
looking.
It gets everybody, it deflects the conversation away from the thing that we're going to talk about next. Yep. And towards
I think they
this
could other have, thing. I could have brought a better name for it. Perhaps the Phoenix. It could rise from the flames
oh my
of
gosh.
The Note 7.
The Samsung Phoenix.
Can I just say, this Chromebook Pro that supposedly exists or will exist, reminds me a lot of the Note 10.1 that came out alongside the Note 3, which was kind of a cool product. The problem is it was really big, and I didn't want a very big tablet back then. But a laptop this size might be more open to it.
Yeah.
You know, and to have the S Pen, which, you know, how great it was on the Note 7 before everything went south. You know, that's a nice marriage of technology, in my opinion.
And I think it's interesting because you said you didn't want a tablet at that size at that time, but I think we've now determined that nobody wants a tablet of any size.
It's very true. You know, very true.
By seeing that market dry up, and so now seeing these convertible, you know, 360 degree, you know, kind of flip the keyboard around. Now it's a tablet. Mm-hmm. Flip it back around. It's a laptop. Could be a nice, you know, meeting in the middle. But I think adding the stylus pen shows, you know, Samsung has a lot of R&D and a lot of stuff that they put into these devices.
Do.
And now they're applying it across the line. I think it's promising.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to have a lot of those extra S Pens hanging out. So they need devices to put them
in.
Which is a great segue to our next topic because we're actually going to talk about the environmental impact of the Galaxy Note 7 travesty, which is what Motherboard Vices Tech Siphon called it. It's an environmental travesty. So think about all those Note 7s that have exploded. Think about all the ones that are getting that you can go to the airports now and get swapped out for a new phone, which I have to say, kind of a smart... I mean, I don't know how... It's a good move on Samsung's part.
For
hey,
sure.
You can't fly
what
with your
you
phone.
Gonna do?
You need your phone. I'm going to swap it out for you. But then what it does with that phone, well, did you ever watch that documentary where they go to China and you see the giant piles of technology that children live on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what happens to all of these?
What happens to all of these? Like, do they get...
Can they just rent the land that Atari buried all those ET cartridges in and just bury them there?
That's in New Mexico, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. New Mexico or Arizona, one of the two. It's down in the Southwest.
Somewhere around there. I don't think it's big enough.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably
for a worldwide recall.
Not big enough.
You got to miss the days of the days when just burying stuff was okay.
Right. What could possibly go wrong? No one's gonna ever care about this.
Oh,
out of
good
sight,
fellas.
Out of mind. Yeah, that's true.
The other sort of interesting thing that came out this week from the Note 7 camp, while we're on the subject, is a report from the Wall Street Journal that Samsung self-tested the batteries in its Galaxy Note 7. Now, typically, manufacturers, including Apple, Microsoft, and Lenovo, who makes Motorola phones, they will go through a CTIA approved third-party battery testing company to get the batteries tested. This is to ensure that everything is purely objective, all the results are purely objective, and also the CTIA is a trade organization. So they maintain these standards with the IEEE, which is the International Electric Engineers. And I wrote this today and then I forgot what it stood for. But anyway, NASA works with that.
Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers.
There we go.
The IEEE.
The IEEE, exactly. So, I mean, I thought that was a little... I thought that was a little interesting bit of news to come out.
So they sidestepped the requirement or the...
But the thing is they've been doing... Okay, but to be fair, they've done this with the last couple generations of phones and we haven't had any issues up until now. So Lord knows this is still being... Or whoever knows. This is still being investigated.
Right.
You know.
Hmm. hmm. So they did this, and then they also, with the recall, kind of sidestepped the normal approach.
It's just, it's not good press, obviously. Yeah. It's not a good report to come out when you're in the midst of all this. I don't know what else to do except shrug emoji, like, at this point.
Yeah, I know. It's sad. I mean, and there, you know, most of the parts of a smartphone are not actually recyclable when it would, going back to kind of the environmental aspect of this.
Yeah.
So when you're thinking of all of this stuff that's being shipped back, I think the article points out 12 out of 50 parts can actually be recycled, and a lot of the rest
of that is just kind of lost.
That's so bad.
You know, I now understand, like, why we were trying to push modular phone technology.
Or at least,
you know, because we were trying to sort of offset the environmental impact that we have from all this new technology. And this is definitely something that I think about. And I definitely scoffed when Apple was saying, oh, we recycle our technology. You know, we're very conscious about it. You know, I just thought that, no, but that doesn't change the fact that you make a new phone every single year.
Right.
But Flo, they built a machine.
out of new parts. It wasn't even recycled parts, right?
But it's a machine. It takes apart old phones and then does what
it is
them.
Better than, you know, tiny hands doing it. But unfortunate.
Perhaps Samsung can borrow their phone disassembling machine.
Yeah, I think Apple would be super stoked to do that.
I'm sure Apple would gladly charge a license fee for its use.
Yes.
I also just feel like this whole fiasco is just a good reminder that we all want nice things really quickly and to come out, like, constantly. And I wonder if it's going to eventually catch up to us and we're going to
I agree. No, I think this whole problem is a really great case for the technology world moving too fast.
I agree.
And I think that's both in terms of the point you're making of releasing new products, releasing new products on such a schedule and getting stuff out the door to remain competitive. But then at the same time, I think I said it last week or on another show, Jason, when we were together, I think this is an example of development moving too fast and leading, you know, and possibly are we pushing the ceiling of what we can do with processors and batteries? And is this going to be the first of many failures that we see? Hopefully not, but you never know. So.
Yeah, phones are sold, you know, in a higher capacity than laptops and desktop computers and components were sold. So this is all starting. It's starting to feel slightly dystopian. I'm imagining the entire world looks like Blade Runner to me right now.
Yeah, and we're all just walking on piles of notes.
It's not nearly as stylish or rainy.
Well, it was very rainy this last weekend.
Yeah, exactly. So.
All right. Well, how about we stop talking about smartphone hardware and we start talking about wearable hardware?
Here we go.
Which you'll never find piles of these from landfills.
Because ain't nobody buying them.
They last forever. Oh. Yeah, nobody's buying it. Maybe that was the better way to go. Google's Pixel efforts could extend to their own Android Wear devices as soon as early 2017, say sources, elusive sources, some to Android Police. And I think these primary sources are to Android Police. Codenamed Angelfish and Swordfish, both are expected to have Assistant built in. No word on whether the Pixel branding will actually hit the watches themselves, but it really seems like they're designed in-house, kind of following, and I don't see why they wouldn't, if they have Assistant built in, according to these rumors, why they wouldn't be Pixel watches of some sort. Is this what wearables needs? Google to come in and give its official kind of wearable line, and this is going to revitalize everything, and everybody's going to be super happy. What do you guys think?
No, but I'm going to buy it
because it's Google.
Yeah, let me just have Google stuff. You know what? Duncan made a really good point earlier in the show. Like, it is all about the updates. And so if Google's going to give me all the updates that I need immediately and as soon as it comes out, like, hell yeah, let me just buy it from them. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to give me, like, great warranties and customer service, hell yeah, let me just buy from them. I mean, that's why people love Apple, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. And that's been a large complaint
for
years with Android.
Oops. Spinning the table because I'm just so into this.
What do you think, Duncan? Where do you stand on the wearable train right now?
I'm still rocking mine. I absolutely love wearing wear.
It looks really nice on your wrist, I will say.
Thank you.
Well, it
I got an aftermarket and put it on. I love it. I use it a lot for media control, notification, triage, immediate spam deletion on one of my email accounts that doesn't go through Google. So I'm all in on wear. I love it. I've actually got my eyes currently on the ZenWatch 3. I'm fallen completely in love with the look of that, and I can't wait till it comes to Australia Q1 next year. But, you know, being a Android and Google fan, I'll definitely be keeping an eye on any Pixel devices. But the styling of those early renders, which could just be placeholders, haven't done it for me. And, you know, a watch is a watch, but it's also a piece of jewellery. Yeah. It's not just a computer. You know, this is my two pieces of jewellery. And so it has to meet whatever level of style I may or may not possess, but it has to be desirable to me. And they're not doing it for me
yet. But let's not forget the mode watch bands that Google started making with other like third-party style companies.
If only they were available outside the United States of America.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, and even then, they haven't really taken, I mean, aside from being announced, I haven't heard anyone talk about it. Yeah. But it's an interesting point that Duncan makes, because just this past weekend, I had the opportunity to be actually watching TV connected to cable, and I have to see commercials, which is a rarity for me. And I saw a TV commercial for the Fossil Q Watch, which is powered by, you know, Android, you know, by you know, Android Wear. But they didn't push the fact that it was Android Wear. It was just a commercial for a watch that you could get text messages on. Like, it was integrated with the function. And I thought that was like, I'm like, oh, wow, here's mainstream acceptance and marketing of this smartwatch. But it's, you know, they're calling it the Q Watch and it's a smartwatch. But it was all about it being Fossil and it being stylish, which I thought was interesting.
Huh.
Same with Michael Kors. I've been bothering the poor people at Fossil and Michael Kors stores in Australia. And they tell me in their stores that they're selling remarkably well, you know, almost on par as from the point of view of a unit movement as their other watches. I can't imagine watches sell all that well these days, but that's what the salespeople are telling me.
Watches still sell. Like, I'm very surprised at, like, my friends who have new watches. I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. A watch?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
You don't need one of those.
Don't you have
You've
phone?
Got a phone.
Yeah. Or it's in the dash of your car.
I mean, as far as the design of these watches in particular, if this is close to the final, I mean, what it really reminds me of is the Chromebook Pixel. At least the one on the left, the larger one, like, it looks very similar. It has the kind of like angular approach, similar kind of aluminum color. There's a lot of similarities between those design aesthetic.
You can add different colors to it, and I really want that smaller one to be something that's comfortable on my small wrist.
Yeah, and it looks like the smaller one has kind of more of a rounded style. If these are the final, so
I want like a Swatch with Android in it, like the size of a Swatch.
Swatch watch.
You know,
maybe
how big that is. I think it's an inch. I don't need that much screen on my.
Well, you need a battery in there.
Where's battery tech? Come on, guys.
Yes, exactly. Move All on. You got to do is figure out the battery tech. Seriously, you guys are slacking.
Quit lagging.
Let's take a quick break before we jump into apps and thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They're the sponsor of this episode. I'm not sure how many of you who are listening or watching have gone through the process of getting a mortgage, securing a mortgage, digging up all the information that's needed to pursue that. It's not the easiest process in the world. It's certainly not enjoyable. But then you move in and you feel like it was all worth it, at least because it's in the past. Well, Rocket Mortgage is going to make it easier for you in the present. It brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. It's fast, powerful, and completely online. Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. So if you hate searching through stacks of old files and paperwork, this is going to take care of it. With Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs at the touch of a button, helping you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your unique financial situation. Even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all of this on your phone or your tablet. It's a quick online process. You can manage it from the convenience of your couch. So if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/android. That's quickenloans.com. NMLS.com/Android, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. All right, we're going to do rapid fire apps segment because we're a little long.
Pew, pew, pew. Those were Note 7s launching into space.
Is that
Sorry.
What that is?
Oh, jeez. All right, so Google released a fun little experiment app that I saw last week, and I was like, ooh, this is interesting. It's called Sprayscape, and basically it allows you to very quickly make 360-degree landscapes, and because it seems as if the processing power behind the app is quite low, they end up looking quite surreal. Because they're not putting a lot of time into stitching the images together, but they're pretty cool in this world of these. You know, I'm seeing on Facebook and other things a lot of these 360 videos. And yeah, Jason's got it there.
So it's a virtual drug trip.
It's pretty much what it is. Really weird. It's not the easiest thing to explain.
It reminds me of Photosphere, kind
of.
Yeah,
it's definitely a Photosphere
on mushrooms.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just.
It's just, it's basically, as you can see there, you move the phone around and you tap the screen to take an image of the angle that you're looking at that point. And it really looks as if it's doing little to no stitching at all. All it's really doing is jamming. It's jamming those images together and then smearing the focus points around the image that you took. The demo makes it look awesome. And there they are in Grand Central Station.
Look how great it looks in the demo.
Great. I know. I played it in my apartment, and I was like, "Oh God, this looks awful." So,
I don't know. A for effort, I suppose.
Yeah,
I mean,
and it's a weird interface.
That was cool.
It's a weird interface too, because like once you take it, then it saves it to a library, and you could share it. But it's like very. This looks very like quick. Like it looks like they bang this out and put it out there just to see what people do with it.
Yeah, it's like a paint app smashed up with Photosphere. I don't think anything about this is meant to be like take Photospheres and attach it to Google Maps for you know what I mean? It's pretty much
unless
we had this crazy
Burning
idea
Man.
And this is what it came out, what happened. Was that?
Sorry.
A lesson learned from Burning Man?
I've never been to Burning Man, unfortunately. Okay. But I was just
Well, Google goes.
Making jokes, but you know what?
Oh, sorry, Google, go away.
Hush, you.
I didn't say.
No, not you, the phone.
Yeah.
How dare you? It was very rude interrupting.
I'm kidding.
You also can live virtually with a keyboard. With Google's new virtual reality keyboard. It's exactly
Perfect.
What it sounds like. It's the Google keyboard that you have on your phone now, presuming you're using it, and it just is up in the air.
And you'll have your day. So this is meant for daydream.
It's meant for daydream. Yes, yes, yes. Yet. Not out yet. And also don't try and so Android Police has the APK. Don't try and install it because it's not going to work, especially if you have the 6P or I mean, the phones aren't daydream ready. So what are you doing? Don't do that.
Yeah.
But it is kind of good to know there will be text input. In virtual reality.
I mean, it makes sense. You're going to have that control, so you know that control in your hand.
Right.
So it'll make sense to throw.
But why
can't
you like boop it with your nose? You know, like wouldn't it be cool if you could just be like boop, boop?
No, I don't think that would be accurate enough.
If I may, Flo.
Yes.
Having used the Oculus, which required me to look around to type in a somewhat janky environment, and then using the wand in Daydream View when I was at the event. It's really good to be able to keep your head still, not get that motion, and then have another part of your body do that movement. When I'm typing in Oculus, I've been known to actually have to close my eyes, move my head, open my eyes, and you've got to stare at the right key to get it. You know, I actually think the wand and the keyboard is going to be a far better. And even if you're staring, you still need a keyboard to stare at.
I wonder, why can't you just shout your letter? I guess if you're in your house, like your password and stuff, like F A.
You say then you sound like a crazy person to match how you look like a crazy person.
Three,
while you're using
seven,
it.
Q, yeah. Exclamation point.
Yes.
It also makes it consistent by having, you know, we've all used apps with different keyboards or different this or different that. And they're really taking a heavy guiding hand with this platform.
Yeah.
So if you uninstall this, some of your apps won't work because it's dependent. on having that keyboard. And I think that shows the level they're going to with Daydream to make sure that there's a consistent and pleasing user experience and a non-nauseating one, which is something different than other platforms I've dealt with.
I guess that would suck, getting nauseated while putting in your password for to play like a game. And you're like, well, I'm not playing that anymore. I just almost barfed.
No, my password is, ooh!
How do you type that? B-R-G-H-G-H-G-H-G-H exclamation point. Is that something like that? And finally, I was just happy to see this. I mean, this is basically Google Apps update section, essentially, because I ran out of time to pull anything more creative than that. But I'm really happy to see this one particular update to Google Photos. So Photos has a lot of AI happening under the behind the scenes. They're expanding that to do a few other things. You know, some things that are kind of cool, like recognizing two people and like grouping all of those photos together for the past year of like you and another person, or tracking the year of one single person. So like a baby grows up or whatever. So that's kind of cool. But the thing that I'm really excited about is automatic detection of photos that are sideways and making them right side up. Cause I've been wondering for like the last year and a half, like, this should be the easiest thing for any AI to do, I have to imagine. I've never programmed an AI or worked with an AI behind the scenes, so I guess I don't actually know where from which.
It's probably easier than having to rotate every photo before you upload it to the internet and then realizing that it uploaded incorrectly.
Exactly, and then you got to go in.
Then you got to delete it from the CMS, and then like you have to rotate it with Command R.
That AI probably actually knows what a horizon is. It probably knows that the eyes and the mouth are sideways and not eyes above the mouth or whatever. Like, this seemed like the easiest thing in the world. I'm happy they finally have it.
What if I do have eyes on the side of my mouth? It's going to discriminate?
I don't know. Maybe then you just have to undo it, I guess. You are left out in the cold in that case. That's all I got. See?
Don't judge me.
This is reality.
Don't judge me.
This is reality.
You wish your hair could do this.
We've
to
been
the side.
We've been correcting Flo's camera all along. This is what normal reality
I'm
looks
smiling.
Like.
Smiling.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm upside down too. That's not going to work. All right. Hey, why don't we review some apps in the arena?
Oh. So many enter, but only one lives.
We are behind.
Arena.
Fighting.
So much bacteria in my kombucha today, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been trying not to swallow them. Even though I know it's the whole point of kombucha, but anyway.
How do you know that there's...
Oh, man, this is just one to remember, isn't it?
So let's take a look at last week's apps and see where we landed here.
Whoa, this is high. Totally... Whoa.
Is it?
What? Yeah.
Oh, boy. Whoa. Okay, so looks like live on YouTube.
We had a guest win last week. Miriam won last week, which puts the guests ahead with 13 wins on the year. And Jason and Flo are still tied at 10 as they were last week. And I'm coming up in the rear with eight wins so far. So,
all right. Well, congratulations to the guest. And that means that you have just a little bit more pressure, Duncan, to deliver today. But we're gonna check in with your app in a second, because I am the loser. That means I'm last week's loser. It's okay.
He came in last. Yeah.
I'm used. I'm used to it. I'm used to it by now.
You're a great. You're a great guy, Jason. Though
you're a great loser.
Thank you. I was fishing for that. Okay, so mine again is pretty quick, and I have to thank Ed, because Ed is a fan of the show and has been sending me a couple of really great apps to check out. This one is called Dingless. Dingless.
I don't know why it's
kind
made
of
me
a,
laugh.
Kind of a weird name. I will admit. But what does it do? They promise that it smoothens out your notifications. So it does basically two key features as far as notifications on your phone. The first one is that it turns off sound notifications anytime you're actively using your phone. The justification being, you're looking at your phone. Why do you have to hear that notification sound every single time it comes through? You're already looking at it. You're gonna see it, so you can act on it. Ringer and the music volumes are gonna stay on, but those notification pings or whatever aren't going to sound anymore. Once you actually turn the screen off, those settings revert, so it goes back to whatever you had the volume set at for the notification level prior. And then another one is this grouping notification sounds. So when you're in rest mode on your phone, have you ever had the situation where you get a bunch of messages from somebody in Hangouts or something, and every single time it comes through, it's like, ba-ding, ba-ding,
or a text ba-ding, message, like a long thread, ba-ding, ba-ding. And then it just keeps vibrating exactly. on the table, and you're like, calm down.
Exactly, and you're like, stop doing that. I mean, and by the way, there's really not a whole lot to show in this app. It's more describing what it does when you turn it on. But in rest mode, what this will do is this will group notification sounds together so that you can group them within a certain time period. If multiples come inside of 30 seconds, 60 seconds, or 90 seconds, it will just sound a single notification for that within that time frame. So it'll kind of cut down on the noise pollution.
Conscientious notifications.
That's right. And then, of course, you can set the volume for how those come through as well. It's, you know, it's just kind of one of those apps that does a couple of things, does it really well. And I like it. Some people want this type of control with notifications. Now you can get it. It's called Dingless. Weird name. Kind of feels weird saying it out loud, to be honest.
Sounds
it kind of
like
looks
Dingus.
Weird. Yeah, I'm not going to go into what it seems like. I'm just going to say that it's a good app and you should check it out. And it's free. And thanks again to Ed for sending me suggestions, because I love it when it works out like that. Okay, Ron, you are not going next because you are the winnerist of last week's winningest person. Flo, you're up next.
Well, guys, I don't profess to be any sort of gym rat. I'm definitely not. But I have, you know, as we age, we do have to find a way to keep ourselves feeling young on the inside. At least our organs, you know. So I've been using this app called Gymprovise, which I want to say Tony told me about the last time he was here, which was quite a while ago. I want to say you told me about this. But anyway, I found it in the Google Play Store, and I've been, you know, you feel kind of stupid when you walk into the gym and you're like, I have no idea what any of these machines do. Well, you don't have to ask anyone because Gymprovise will tell you, and it'll make a little, like it'll actually make a sequence for you. So you can choose
it'll
put together a little sequence. So let's say, you know, I'm at the gym and I'm like, I want to get some upper body, lower body. Oh, so first of all, you can specify your gender. So we'll go by the type of body you have. So women, it will focus more on like the legs for you, and men will focus more on upper body. So this one's nice because it will just tell you what to do. So when you go to the gym, it'll tell you which machine to use and give you these nice symbols that show you what machine to go to. Of course, some of them get a little scary because, you know, you kind of need a spotter for some of the weights. But it's nice just to be able to understand and know how many reps you have to do with the different machines at the gym. The nice thing about this, too, is that it will track everything for you. So it has like little logs. Don't laugh at me. I haven't been all month. So it has like little logs. It'll tell you when you went, what you did, how long you did it for, that sort of thing. And it has a nice, when you do start the program, it has a timer so that you can, if you use a third-party logging app like I do, I use the Under Armour Record, I can just input it in there, all the stats, and then it'll convert, that app will use the calorie conversion for me, which is great. And also, it offers a progress chart. And it actually has music controls inside. So you can like integrate this with Spotify so that way you don't have to flip back and forth between the Spotify UI or, you know, bring down the notification shade to shuffle songs. So, yeah, Gymprovise. Now, there is a free version of Gymprovise. I used the paid version. I believe it was about $4.99 to unlock it. Can never see it after you install it. So, I don't remember how much I paid for it, but
I know you have
I will
to
tell
load
you,
it in a different browser or something like that.
I will tell you it's been worth the money just for helping me figure out how to use the machine so I don't look like a total dodo.
Do not
or a dingus, as some would say.
Or a dingless.
Dingus.
Brian giggled, by the way.
All right, so that is Gymprovise. Are you going to Gymprovise the next time you go?
I have to.
Yeah.
Get these arms.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Excellent. So that is Gymprovise. Check that out. Duncan, you are up next. I have your app installed, so I'll go ahead and show it off while you talk about it.
Excellent. Thanks, Jason.
Absolutely.
So the app I'm bringing to the arena this week is Stokard, and it is a app designed to let you declutter your wallet and get those hundreds of different store loyalty cards out of your wallet. If you just hit the plus there, Jason, and just pretend to enter a card, so I don't know, go down to CVS or something, one of your favorite stores. What it lets you do is have a store here. It'll have all the cards in there. So go into manual input there and just pretend to enter something. It creates either a QR code, if it's a QR code that the company uses, or a barcode, if that's what they use. And the developers have actually spent a lot of time going through to lots and lots of different companies and figuring out what they use and setting up the art and all of those things and any specific fields the cards might have. So for my frequent flyers, it has all of the different fields that the frequent flyer system uses, and it has a wear component. So as I'm approaching the checkout at my my supermarket or wherever it is I have a loyalty card, I just flick open my watch, choose the right card, and then I've got the barcode ready to scan sitting on my wrist and, you know, start putting things through. And somewhere in that process, I quickly scan my watch and bam, I've got my loyalty card scanned, tap with Android Pay, because we've got ubiquitous, almost ubiquitous tap to pay across Australia. So I get a lot of good use out of Android Pay. And this just lets me declutter my wallet so I can carry every single card in one spot. You occasionally get some issues with scanners that aren't compatible with the screen, or especially if you use one of those less translucent screen protectors. But I use a glass screen protector. I've never really had an issue. And look, it's really good. There's a similar feature built into Android Pay, but it's not as diverse. And these guys have put a lot of effort into mapping lots of different countries. You can also see that it'll give you proactive alerts about sales and magazines from different vendors. But the good news is you can turn that off. And I just find it really handy just to be waiting in line and to be able to bring up on my watch my my loyalty card and never have to actually carry the two dozen cards. It also means one family can share the one card. You haven't got to worry about multiple points and multiple things. So that's the app. It's really handy. It makes your wallet much thinner, and it makes sure that you get all of your discounts and all of your points wherever you are all the time.
Nice. I actually like that it recognizes if you have a card from a place with those deals. It actually gives you the offers in here, so you can kind of see, like, you've got a card burning a hole in your pocket. You've got a way to kind of just check out and see what they have kind of on sale or whatever.
And being a German developer, it's not centric to one environment. They've really put a lot of effort into partnering with shops from all over the world. It's really impressive. Nice. It's a real worldwide app. It'd be interesting to see from your listeners and watchers just how where it doesn't work, in fact.
Right. Very cool. I love it. It's called StoCard, S-T-O card, all one word. And you can check it out for free. Great pick. Had not seen that one before. Ron, you are last.
But not
that's
least.
Because, yes, definitely not least, because you are the returning winner.
Well, the returning pseudo-winner. Yeah. The de facto winner. Winning but not getting any points for winning.
Right.
So that's the worst kind of winning.
Yeah, it's
but,
true.
But, yeah. So this app is called Trip Tracker, and it's from Microsoft, from their Garage program, which we haven't seen a lot of apps come out of recently. And I found this to be really interesting for a couple of reasons. One is that on the total top layer of it, it is a app that tracks any trips you take, i.e. the name Trip Tracker. It automatically runs in the background and it detects when you're on the move. And what it will do is will identify your starting point, your finish point, all the stops that you took, give you a whole bunch of points of data along the way, the duration, how far you traveled, how long it took, all that sort of thing. And it actually reminded me, Jason, do you remember a couple of weeks ago when we had that question about the person who wanted to do biking?
Yes.
You know, that sort of thing. So while this doesn't help you plot a trip, if you take this with you when you go ride your bike, it will keep track of where you go, and then you could save it to refer to at another time. Good thing the nougat is in the shot. So what it does is that it does all this really neat stuff in behind the scenes. So you don't actually need to activate it. All you need to do is that one button along the top where you say trip recording on or off. And that's pretty much it. And then it just tracks wherever you go, uses geographic data, and it gives you a lot of great information about where you go. Now, the deeper layer of this is that this is kind of a Trojan horse app, because this is a very – it's got a neat little bit of functionality. But if you are a developer, or you're somebody who's looking into creating an app, or working with folks who are creating an app, this is actually Microsoft showing off their platform that they call Loop, which is Microsoft's location and observation platform. And what is really interesting is that Loop is available as an SDK for both Android and iOS. It gives you a ton of location insight and analytics. And what's even more interesting is that they've put up the code to this app up on GitHub. So you can view to see how they built this app. You can take it apart. You can make your own. You can add things. You can use the Loop platform to add different different functionality and make your own app. So it's kind of like a springboard platform for developers to use geolocation and observation services from this Loop platform. So I thought that was really cool and kind of neat of Microsoft to not only create a pretty good looking app that works really well. I tested it today. I was going around New York City and it was really accurate in the tracking. But then also the fact that they are making this SDK available to developers, and they're making the code to this app available. And you can find all that information on the Google Play store listing for this app. They've got links to the Loop platform as well as to stuff in GitHub and all that sort of stuff. So kind of neat. But yeah, so it works. It does exactly what it says. And it's a great springboard if you want to make your own app to do something very similar. So
nice. I like the look of it too. It's got a nice
Yeah, no, the design is actually really nice. It's very simple. It's got a touch of material, but it looks unique. I was impressed when I saw it. So
yeah, nice. All right, that is Trip Tracker by this little startup called Microsoft. But Microsoft Garage sort of thing.
That Bill Gates is going to get somewhere soon.
Yeah,
someday. I like the Microsoft Garage because it's like this little, like, you know, scrappy, they're just making stuff. I feel like maybe Microsoft doesn't know they're doing it, you know, and they're just, it's only a matter of time before they get caught, but they just keep cranking out these neat little apps that, yeah, I don't know why they're doing it. But I was looking into this Loop platform and it looks to be pretty robust. So not only are they making apps, but they're making these, you know, data level SDKs that developers can use, and they're doing their best to stay competitive. So yeah, good job, sure. Microsoft.
Way to go. Awesome. So we've got four apps in the arena this week for you to vote on. One of them, your favorite, hopefully.
Choose wisely.
Choose wisely. And don't tell anyone except for the fact that you're placing a vote publicly. If you go to bit.ly/AAAvote288, you can vote for either Dingless.
What will Brian vote for?
Gymprovise, Stokard, or Trip Tracker. We're all waiting to see which
Brian
votes for. Dingless! Yes!
You know why? Because it sounds like dingus.
Yes,
and he laughed.
I know.
That's why.
He laughed.
I know you, Brian.
Sometimes, you know me too well.
Sometimes you just got to go with what sounds weird to get the Brian.
Or makes Brian go, tee.
Whatever it takes. bit.ly/AAAvote288, or you can go to the All About Android community in Google Plus. It's always pinned to the top there. You'll find it there. That's it. That's all we got. We're done. Put a fork in this
Murder, She Wrote
dessert. And
it's Nugget Bits, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Shutting down.
Nugget.
Excellent. Thank you.
Good night. Nugget Bits.
Although I will say the wafery aspect of this, that's good.
Does that look good, right?
It's good.
It's Nugget Bits and Nut Bits. That's what helps it stick together, and then lots of caramel.
It's better than a lot of nougat things I've had. That's really good. I can't wait to eat more than just the tiny corner over there. And I will do that when the show is over. But first, got to thank Duncan Jaffrey for joining us on the show today. Really a pleasure getting you on the show. Thank you so much, Duncan.
No, thank you very much for having me back. It's been awesome.
Absolutely. So tell people what you want them to know as far as the work you're doing at Ozdroid, where they can follow all the stuff that you're doing online.
I think the best place to follow me would be on ozdroid.net. We put our first look at the Pixel device up today. We think it's such an important device that doing a review in such a short turnaround just wouldn't do it justice. I mean, this is the seminal device for 2016. It is Google's first piece of hardware, so we're going to give it a long, slow consideration. That said, we did put up a quite detailed first look at the device, and you can find that on ozdroid.net now. And then in the coming weeks, we're going to have a separate Pixel XL and a Pixel post. By the time that goes up, I think every single writer in Ozdroid is going to have a Pixel. And so it's going to be an all-hands style post. You can follow me on Twitter at Dunofray. I not overly active there, but I'll come out with random thoughts and attack the Australian banking sector for their failure to adopt mobile wallets every now and then. So, you know, if that's your bag, yeah, that's where you can find me.
Excellent, Duncan. Thank you again. And we'll definitely have to get you back on and do a follow-up and see how living life with the new Pixel has become and if you got in trouble with your wife for buying it. Thanks again. Ron, what about you? What's up?
Yes, not much.
Okay. How you doing?
So what's going on?
What you doing on Friday?
What's going on?
I'm hanging in. But yeah, so go to follow me at twitter.com/RonXO where you can see all my adventures and working on a new project that's going to be launching hopefully in late October, early November, new podcast. So stay tuned for that. But go to ifanboy.com for comic books and yeah, just keep it on, keep it on.
Excellent. Well, keep on keeping on-ing, okay?
I will.
Okay. Flo, what about you?
What am I doing? Well, yes. While I'm waiting for the Pixel XL and also ruining the day I ever brought the 6P into my life, I will be covering the Echo event tomorrow with Andrew Martonic.
Excellent.
From Android Central.
That was very drawn out.
I almost accidentally butchered Andrew's last name.
I
know how to say his last name.
I actually did butcher it.
I got tongue twisted there for a second, and I apologize to my new coworker.
No way. I think I butchered his last name too, and I've said it a million times.
But yeah, we'll be there tomorrow. Please follow Android Central on Instagram and Android_Central on Snapchat because that's where I'll be tomorrow.
Excellent.
As I'm looking at the new Echo's doing in the United States of America.
L'Echo. Yeah. Brian, what about you?
Well, I don't have a camera. I've been doing some stuff for screensavers recently. Did a Acer Aspire 13S review, if you want to check that out. That's on our YouTube page. But also doing a beer know-how tomorrow.
Really? What time?
I'm going to a brewery to go do some filming to show how they do bottling and how they actually make the beer. And then, of course, what it tastes like at the end.
Yeah, got it.
But we're doing brew how and know how. And once Padre's back, we'll show you all the details of which brew kit was the best and stuff. But otherwise, you can follow me at @cranky_hippo. And yeah, that's about it.
Excellent.
Also, one last thing.
Yes.
Not to interject, but I am going to be on the new Screensavers this weekend. So if you have any questions, burning questions that are burning you, and it's not your Note 7.
Or maybe it is. That would be a good question, too.
Tweet at me. Yeah. And or.
Or send
email
it to the new
screensavers at twit.tv.
That was coordinated, wasn't it? Very good. Very well done. New screensavers at twit.tv. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. This is the only show or time ever in anything that I do that I use that URL. It's weird. Does anyone use about.me anymore?
It used to be perfect. It was perfect for our needs, and then they redesigned it. Now it's not so much.
Yeah, it's like terrible looking now.
Maybe I need to change that. I just realized the other day, I was like, wait a minute, I'm still saying about.me/Jason Howell. No one's using that anymore, but I guess all the stuff is there, so whatever. You got all you need there. If what you need is to have me staring at you with
intensity
coming out of my eyeballs. But that is it for this week's show. Thank you so much, as always, for joining us. And thanks again to Andrew and to Duncan for joining us as guests today. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us emails or video mails or both, AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are @AndroidShow. We have a subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. Everything is there. Also, YouTube and iTunes for past episodes. I mean, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts, you'll find us. And you can catch us live every Tuesday. I don't know if 5:30 is the time anymore, but we'll just go ahead and say 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. Things get a late start these days. Anyways, that's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.
Bye.